97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, 22nd day of November here. Welcome in the 8 o'clock hour. Happy that you joined us this morning. Heard from my son earlier down in Atlanta. He was listening on the app. That is a great way to take us with you when you're on the road. I love
that. Was it lit?
And, of course, we're on Facebook and X. I was just waiting for that. I knew that was going to happen.
Carl, you are so fast because it's not like you know when Mark's going to talk about Brad, and you just hit that button so quickly.
He's got all the drops up there on a page.
Was it lit?
Yeah, thank you. Brad hates that so much, but Carl knows it. Anyway, yeah, thank you. He loved that one too. Oh boy! Hey, this hour we're going to talk a little bit more about Backstoppers coming up. We got Colonel O'Toole, who's the new executive director of Backstoppers, and replacing Ron Battelle there after many years. And of course, Chief Greg Brown, Chief Mike Wiegand—they're all going to be in studio talking about the red and the blue and the guns and hoses bouts that'll be coming up next week. Of course, we're proud to be carrying that here on 97.1 FM Talk, and you can of course tune in here. Fox 2's carrying the TV side of it. I think our own Tom Ackerman is going to be one of the announcers, and Julie Tristan is going to be one of the ringside announcers from our station group down who works down the hall and at 102.5. So we're thrilled to have all of them working to help our first responders. We do it all month in November, and I'll talk more about that coming up near the end of the hour, because one lucky organization is getting food delivered today from Grill Master Tony, and I'll be headed out to the Wildwood precinct for the St. Louis County Police just a little bit later with that food. Looking forward to all of that for you. But first, Carl, we need to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I just want to add that the congresswoman-elect does identify as a woman. I will be...
She's not a woman. It's a man. She was born a man.
Nancy Mace lighting them up yesterday. She's on with a reporter from Scripps, and she just read her the Riot Act about men being allowed in women's bathrooms.
Donald Trump has named Pam Bondi, the former Florida Attorney General and one-time lawyer of Donald Trump's, as his pick for Attorney General.
Yeah, there you go. Lots of reaction. And the left is having a little bit of a meltdown because they hated Matt Gaetz. They don't like Bondi, but they know she has a much better chance of getting into the office.
This evening, the mayors of Missouri's four largest cities, St. Louis, Kansas City, Springfield, and Columbia, want Governor-elect Mike Kehoe to support gun restrictions for minors.
Yeah, you know, in these defund the police cities, the big four cities in St. Louis, if they just had one more gun law, that would fix the problem. That's what they want you to believe, and that's what they want Mike Kehoe to get behind. I cannot envision him doing that. There you go. Little Guns N' Roses for you, talking about guns and hoses. We got a pair of tickets to give away. This is almost a sellout. I don't know if that's official yet. We'll talk to Colonel O'Toole about that a little later this morning and find out what he's thinking about the whole thing. But regardless, we've got two tickets to give away for next Wednesday night, the 27th. Of course, you see all the boxing matches and the walkout music. Carl Middleman will be handling all that for you. Woo-woo. Ought to be fun. Kim, you're going for the first time.
I am.
She's going to text me songs she wants to hear as the Ring Girls. I'm sorry, the Budweiser Ring Girls come.
Ah, yeah, nice.
They just like stand there and smile, or what's their role?
They carry the signs. Let people know what round it is.
And most times they're not paying attention to the sign.
Well, yeah, that's the way they're dressed, I would assume.
Because most people realize, oh, that was the first round.
And, this is the second round. That's the third round.
Counting is hard, Carl.
Yes, that's true. We got to work on those things.
They're distracting.
By the way, we will give this to a winner number, caller number 12 at 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. You got a pair of tickets coming to you for Guns and Hoses next Wednesday, the 27th. All of the proceeds from that go to benefit the fine folks at Backstoppers, who will indeed be in the studio at around 8:35 this morning, although I am told that a couple of these chiefs may be caught in some traffic right now, although they are en route. So they may be getting here a little late.
They just turn on their lights and just...
yeah. Hit the lights and sirens, Chief Brown and Chief Wiegand, and just skirt around all that. I know you guys can get away with that
stuff. I had that thought this morning because there were two cops with their lights on who came, you know, blowing past me. And I'm wondering, of course, where they're going. And I'm thinking, maybe they just really want like a McDonald's McGriddle or something like that. And they just decided, well, I'm just going to put my lights on.
I'm sure it wouldn't. I'm sure it wouldn't be the first time that has happened in the history of people trying to get somewhere in a hurry. Because who's going to question them, generally speaking, right?
I'm just going to pop a light on my car, right?
They're captains. That's a good point. That's a good point, Carl. All I said was I'm sure it's happened a lot in history. Maybe they've got ways of keeping them from doing that these days. So we'll get to that for you coming up here before long. You know, this is an update to a story we reported yesterday or the day before about Dennis Hancock, the county councilman. I know you've been reporting in the news, but I thought it was interesting that they've decided to basically drop the case against Dennis Hancock for now over this nepotism claim. That he had tried to hire his relative.
His stepdaughter, yeah.
Yeah. And he told us on the air that at the time he first tried, he didn't realize that it wasn't legal, but the person was never hired, so it didn't matter. It's not like this individual was on the payroll and getting money from county taxpayers.
Well, it sounds like they had taken the steps to hire her, but the new hire paperwork, he says, never officially went through. So for that reason, she was never on the payroll.
And the thing about this rearing its ugly head is that nobody would normally care. But when they first brought it up, the point of trying to get him off the council was because Sam Page needed to remove a vote on an issue. They were trying to get the issue on the ballot of having separate counsel for the county council, which did go on the ballot and did pass because attorneys stepped in and got a stay and allowed Dennis Hancock to be in that meeting and vote. And the issue got on the ballot and, you know, Sam Page was trying to block it. So it's all sleight of hand. It's all political noise is what it is. And I'm glad to hear this has been resolved for Dennis Hancock, at least for right now. Right. You know, speaking of which, there was that school board meeting in Francis Howell last night. I'll give you an update on that when we come back here in just a couple of minutes. And I want you to hear what some of the reaction has been so far, of course, to the selection of Bondi over Gates. Like they're melting down a little bit on the left now, not because she's controversial, but because she's MAGA, but she's good, and they don't know what to do with that. We're going to be back here in just a minute.
Are you suggesting that the representative-elect McBride poses some kind of danger to you and other women?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. This is an assault on women. A man being a biological man, a man with a penis, male genitalia, being in a women's locker room is an assault on women. And so the question is, do I have rights as a woman or not? And I'm not going to allow the media or Congress to strip away women's rights for 0.5% of people out there that more than likely he's got a mental illness, and this is why he's doing this. He should not be forcing his private parts into women's private spaces. I'm absolutely a no hard pass on this. I'm going to fight it every step of the way.
Yep, that's Nancy Mace yesterday. I wonder if we could bring her to town and get her to testify in front of the Francis Howell School Board.
Oh, man.
What do you think?
She would just light them up.
Yeah, she was on fire. That was it. She was talking to a Scripps reporter. So, you know, she's pointing out the science here, right? That somebody with a dangling participle, even if he thinks he's not a he, shouldn't be able to walk into a girl's bathroom or a girl's locker room and change in front of girls. Shouldn't happen. Don't want it to happen to my daughter. But the reporter skips over that and focuses on the fact that Nancy Mace suggested that what's this individual's name?
Tim McBride,
who now identifies as Sarah, that Tim McBride has a mental illness. The reporter zeroes in on that part of her statement and says, wait a minute. Did you just diagnose someone with a mental illness? She was shocked that somebody would say that. Listen.
Are you diagnosing right now an incoming member of Congress with a mental illness? I'm not sure how you would.
I am absolutely diagnosing anyone who cross-dresses with a mental illness. And in fact, by the way, I'm getting death threats from men dressed up as women who want to kill me because I don't want penises in women's bathrooms.
Nancy actually said her staff is now getting really intense threats, too.
Wow.
I mean, they don't stop. Remember we played the trans activist who was saying that he wanted to bash her head or something into the bathroom stall?
To. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure she's getting quite a few of those.
Wow. Anyway, last night in the Francis Howe district, this came up at their school board meeting because their parents, I had them on the air yesterday, upset when their kids come home and tell them there's a over 6 foot tall male who weighs a couple hundred pounds, who routinely uses the girls' bathroom. And a lot of the kids are upset, but because of social pressure, they're scared to say anything out of fear that they're going to be ostracized. Why do we allow this to go on in our school? We don't allow bullying of any other sort to go on in schools, do we? This is a form of bullying. You can, I'll do what I want, and you can't dare do anything about it. That's basically what it is. So I'm told that the board member last night who was going to bring this up was basically bullied into not bringing it up for a vote, because a vote would have forced the members of the Francis Howe School Board to state where they stand on this issue. It's pretty simple. Biological males go in the boys' bathroom. Biological females use the girls' bathroom and locker room. And if you are confused, in addition to seeking, some counseling, we will have a single-use bathroom for you to use. And therefore, the 99.995% of people don't have to, be uncomfortable to accommodate the 0.1%.
I'm not saying this is what should be done, but let me just throw this out here. Let's just say that there were enough girls, enough parents who were upset about this at Francis Howell High School that they came together and they said, look, we're going to refuse to send our girls to school until this is addressed. And so you have dozens and dozens of girls missing class for multiple days. Don't you think something drastic like that might be the tipping point for the school board to take action? You don't think anything like that is going to actually...
No. The same thing would happen that happened over, was it in the Columbia, Illinois schools when they did that? When the kids sort of staged a strike and they all went and got in line for the single-use bathroom instead of using the regular bathroom. And the kids that stood in line got in trouble as opposed to the kid that was using the wrong bathroom. That's what's wrong with the administration in these schools. They're all hard lefties. Not all the teachers are. But to achieve one of those positions as a administrator in today's public school system, you've got to be left of center. But you've got to accept anything, and they would penalize the kids that miss class, and they wouldn't care about why they miss class.
But they would just penalize them. The reason why some of these strikes, I hear your point, but the reason why a lot of these strikes at these big corporations are effective is because they obviously need the workers. Now, I understand it's different because this is someone being taught and yes. educated versus working production. But I don't know, if it went on for enough days, I have to wonder if that would work. I'm not saying you keep them out of class, but there has to be something that could be done on a large scale if enough parents came together, enough girls agreed to do this, that would essentially stick it to them.
I just want them to have some common sense. Take a vote on it. Let us know where you stand. It's that simple. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what they're trying to avoid, but the parents need to clearly speak with a louder voice. I believe the next board meeting might be December 12th, something like that. Show up. Let them know what you think out there, because this shouldn't be able to stand as it is. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk to Colonel Larry O'Toole, new executive director of Backstoppers. Very excited about that. We'll be back in just a minute. All right. Welcome in. Welcome back. We've got the chiefs with us this morning. We've got Chief Greg Brown from Eureka Fire Department, Chief Mike Wiegand there from the Eureka Police Department. They were kind enough to bring food. And we've got Colonel Larry O'Toole in here, who's the new executive director of Backstoppers. And gentlemen, welcome into the studio.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Great to have you in. Chief Brown, get a little closer to that microphone. I can barely hear you over there. Maybe Carl didn't have it turned up. I don't know what's going on.
They're all up.
You doing all right? So we're just talking, obviously, about the boxing matches coming up next Wednesday. Greg, you fought?
I fought.
You fought
in 98 and 2000.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yes, sir.
And Colonel O'Toole, you fought first 2 years.
I fought the first 2 years of Guns N' Roses, yes.
Mike?
No, I'm just a stand, you know, just a guy that stands on the sidelines and rooting for blue, of course. Yeah, that's all I can tell you.
Yeah, I wondered about that. I didn't know, so I thought we had a threefer going here. Yeah. So I'm just thinking now, guys, in light of what Mike Tyson just pulled off, how come you two aren't back in the ring this year?
We're both older than Mike Tyson.
Yes.
If Mike can do it, you can do it. Come on.
20 million, maybe so.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I'd even do it for 10.
You are?
I'd fight Tyson for $20 million. He'd knock me out, but that's fine. I'm $20 million richer.
That's right.
And cover your medical bills anyway,
there you
right?
Go. Yeah.
What a great group, and congratulations, Colonel O'Toole, for taking over the reins from Ron Battelle.
Thank you. I got big shoes to fill. Chief Battelle's done a fantastic job for the Backstoppers the last 20 years. And prior to that, 40 years with the St. Louis County Police Department. So 60 years helping our, assisting our first responders.
And pretty amazing. And I mean, what a great background you have, having been in that ring at some point. I mean, what's it mean to you to kind of take over this year?
Well, you know, it's, like I said, I got big shoes to fill, but coming into it, I mean, we had an Afton firefighter who died in July. We had Officer David Lee with the St. Louis Police Department, who worked with me on the police department,
right?
And he was killed on the Highway 70. And then we had St. Louis City Sheriff Deputy Dennis Boyd, who died just a few days after Officer Lee down here, just south of here at the courthouse. So coming in with those three deaths, you know, that's what Backstoppers does. We're there to assist those families. So I'm very honored and humbled that I was selected to replace, not that you can't replace Chief Battelle, but to follow him. I'm honored.
Well, what we talked about is the demand, right? Because who told me the statistic last year about the longest, the family that's been being served by Backstoppers the longest? Wasn't there a widow that it dated back to the 70s or something?
Yeah, there was a story. When one of the first Backstoppers board meetings I got to attend, there was a widow whose husband was killed back in the 70s. And she was still with the Backstoppers. They were still helping her out. So, you know, this was maybe 8-10 years ago.
Yeah.
So she had to be in her 80s, right?
Right.
And she needed a new roof on her house. Didn't have means to take care of it. There was no question. Take care of it.
Wow.
So they are with the families for as long as they're needed. And if that means decades, they're there decades. It's an amazing organization. Yeah.
We have 95 families that we're supporting right now, but we have 75 children.
Wow.
Who we're taking care of. You know, when you think of the Backstoppers, we all know the Backstoppers here in St. Louis, but our footprint is, we have 28 counties that we take care of, 18 counties in Missouri. We go as far west as Phelps County and Montgomery County, and then as far east as Clinton County in Illinois. So when you figure all the first responders in those 28 counties, you know, we have a lot of first responders, a lot of responsibility that comes along with that. And that's what we have. The only way we get our funding is through donations and memberships and fundraising. And the back, you know, the Guns N' Roses is our largest fundraising event. And but it's for all of our families.
Well, it's a big one. And, you know, if you think you make $1 million or whatever it is that you guys bring in routinely for Backstoppers, for Guns N' Roses, that ongoing demand, though, I mean, what's the yearly budget? What's the output right now?
What we put out right now is about between $2.5 to $3 million a year.
Wow.
For our families and our children. Hey, think about it. I tell people, hey, we take care of the children from preschool to graduate school.
Wow.
They don't age out until they're 26. So we're taking care of those children. And as everybody knows who has children, hey, they're not cheap, you know. And but we're proud to do that. That's our mission, is to do that. But it takes It takes funding to do that.
Do you? So let's say anyone makes a request across the state in these counties that you serve. I mean, you would accept them. It's not like you're looking to turn people away, or have you had to do that because it costs a lot of money?
No, we've been able to, for the area that we represent, mm-hmm. Those first responders who were dying, of course, there's criteria, just like there's the federal criteria. But, you know, like our Officer Lee, it's pretty clear he was killed in the line of duty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are pretty simple. We run into some issues when there's some other deaths that we don't know if they were line of duty or not, but that takes a little bit of time to sort through those. But most of our deaths, we pretty immediately take those deaths over and take over. I mean, if you could be there with the families, and when you see their faces when they're, you know, it's at the worst time in their life, and sure. We say, give us that mortgage, and we're going to take care of that mortgage, and we're going to make the family debt free.
It's unique, I think. I mean, I've worked in three different states around the country. I've never come across an organization quite like it. You guys got a lot to be proud of.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. We're in the studio here with Colonel Larry O'Toole, who just took over Backstoppers, and Chief Mike Wiegand, Chief Greg Brown. Greg, I had to say this, but you're outnumbered. I see two blue and one red in here.
That's exactly right, and that's what it takes, two of them.
Chief Wiegand, you're being kind of quiet over there.
Well, you know, I'm here because I'm one of the ambassadors for Guns and Hosen and Backstoppers, and I'm proud to say that the ambassadors go out, and we're missioned to educate the young first responders in our organizations and other organizations and try to get them into the fold of what Backstoppers do for them and their families, or could do for them and their families, and that they should become members of the Backstoppers as well. And that's a big mission, because some of our young folks don't ever think it's going to happen to them. And as you guys all know in this room, it's a reality of our jobs and the careers that we choose.
Yeah. Well, I know nobody ever ages out, but Chief, you're about to hang it up, aren't you?
Yep. The end of the year, December 31st.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What a career. How many years?
43 with the department, 29 is the fire chief.
That's fantastic. Wow, how about that? Chief Wiegand, you're not far behind, are you?
No, sir. I'm in April of next year, 2025. Be about 47 and a half years.
Wow.
About 38 of them as chief of police. So happy and proud of my community and the things we've done there together.
Yeah, no kidding. And Colonel, you retired. How long has it been since you retired from the city?
It's been just a little over 2 years. I retired,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
I did 38 and a half years in St. Louis City. And prior to that, I was a St. Louis County police officer for 2 years. So 40 and a half years in law enforcement.
Well, congratulations to all of you. Thanks for all that you've done for the community, each of you. Thank you for that. You keep giving back, too.
Well, you know, I would like to say, as long as I'm, you know, they're, my job is to raise funds. And so, hey, if anybody has any questions about Backstoppers, hey, backstoppers.org. You would be surprised the number of events that are going on throughout these 28 counties, in fundraising events and other things. Get on there and look at it. And there's different ways that if you want to join, there's different levels of memberships. And so I encourage you to get on there, backstoppers.org, and look at our organization and see all the families that are the people we honored, those first responders who've given their lives. And really look at our website, and I think you'll really be impressed.
I have to ask a quick question, because this is my first time I'm going on Wednesday. So who typically wins here, historically?
Well, the police,
oh, come
of
on, please.
Let's just settle this debate right now.
I can't believe you're asking
you're wearing
that
a blue
question.
Hat.
I didn't
really
even intend to wear the blue hat.
Yeah.
Historically, the
it's
police
neutral.
Do end up getting the judgment in more bouts than the
judgment.
Yeah, the judgment.
Is there agreement that police will move?
Well, you know,
there's no agreement, but you know, everybody, all the judges still have to drive on the streets
now,
of St. Louis. Yeah,
well, now the firemen will tell you in their defense, oh, we fight fires, we don't fight people.
Oh,
so, you know. So I mean, that's you know, good for them. And no, we are truly the police and the fire.
We are
brothers. We really are. I mean, and people
sisters.
Always think that there's this rub between us, but really, hey, we're first responders, and you know, if I can't have a policeman next to me, I want a fireman.
But we could see some knockouts.
Oh, you're going to see some knockouts.
There are some knockouts that do happen.
The Carl was telling me there's a couple of one of the heavyweight matches. These people weigh what? 300 pounds?
265 to 55.
Wow. Yeah. I can't wait to see
that. Super heavyweight division. Yeah. Yep.
These fighters, they train a long time to prepare for this. It's a good show. I would, if you go down and watch this thing, you're going to see some great, great fights, and you're probably going to see, you know, a knockout or two. I believe they may have an MMA fight this year as well.
That. Mm-hmm.
And so,
about six.
Right. So it's an exciting time. And it's for a great, great cause.
No kidding. Well, I tell you, I noticed you guys were carrying food, Greg, Mike.
I didn't notice that.
Can we give a shout out to Chicken Ellie's? Is that where it's from? I haven't seen
it. And Sarah's.
And Sarah's Bakery in Eureka. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Both great businesses. I mean, we were there not that. When were we at Chicken Ellie's to do the live broadcast?
We did the live broadcast. Yeah.
9/11.
Yeah. And Sarah's gave us delicious pastries that day, too.
So good.
So they did again today.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, thanks for all you do. Backstoppers.org. We'll promote it all we can. Right. Proud to be the radio sponsor this year.
Yes, thank you. Thank you
very
much.
Don't forget, Guns N' Hoses coming up. There still may be a few tickets available online. So go to STL Guns N' Hoses and see if you can still snag a ticket.
Excellent.
It's going to be the most fun you ever had on the night before Thanksgiving.
It's a yearly tradition for our family. Thank you, gentlemen.
It's so popular, they started a holiday the next day.
I heard
that.
They call it Thanksgiving.
It's
so
popular.
Well,
that makes sense now.
Right.
I got you.
A lot of people don't realize that.
All right, we're back in just a minute.
This is your First Responder Spotlight.
All right, I want to give a shout out to the folks out at the St. Louis County Police, City of Wildwood Precinct, Captain Mundell, who's the commander out there. We're going to stop and see all those fine men and women a little later this morning. Grillmaster Tony is going to deliver a great box of food for lunch. Who knows what'll be in there? Pulled pork, pulled chicken, all the sides, the great bread from Pizza Italian Bakery on the Hill. You're going to love it. And it's our way of saying thanks to you for what you do. That's what we do the month of November around here for our First Responder Thanksgiving. And just as a reminder, the responderrescue.org raffle that's going on right now, the ATF raffle, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms raffle. Sounds like a convenience store. It should be. Those are our three prizes. You can win just a basket full of bourbon. It may not be a basket. It may be in boxes, actually, because I'm going to have a lot of it. I talked to my friend yesterday, Demetrius Kane from Nobleton's Distillery. He's going to donate some of his great Ozark American bourbon, which is outstanding. Stolach whiskey. My friends at Lore Wine and Spirits are donating. They've given me some Four Roses single barrel and a lot of other bourbons. There's going to be some Weller Antique 107 in there. Some just great bourbons, the Midwinter's Night Dram, all that stuff. Thanks to everybody who's donated that. Plus, there'll be a blues jersey signed by Robert Thomas in there. So three winners, one winner of each. You're going to get an evening at Lit Cigar Lounge down in Chesterfield Valley. That's valued at $1,000. You get the private lounge, a bottle of bourbon. They have a bunch of great barrel picks down there, one of which is in the bourbon basket, in fact. And then some of their Opus X cigars. That's $1,000 value. And then there's the gun. My friends at the Range St. Louis West help us out every year. They are so generous. And this year, they managed to get the fine folks at CMMG out in Boonville, Missouri, to donate one of their 9mm rifles. It's got a folding stock. It is a CMMG Descent Mark IV, valued at $2,100. There's a picture of me up on the Facebook page holding it. I'm surprised I'm not in Facebook jail, actually.
I actually am, too.
I just took a picture with it and posted it up there. So, anyway, they did put me in jail one time for that in Facebook because I mentioned the Range. I retweeted. I mean, just recopied something from their own Facebook page. It was silly. But anyway, thanks to them. If you're at the Range, 14803 Manchester Road, you can buy tickets right there. They've got an iPad when you walk in, and you can just purchase your tickets while you're at the Range. You can do it online at 971talk.com. We have a link, responderrescue.org. There's a link up there as well. Or the simple way, which is just to text the word responder to 33100. That's responder to 33100 and buy your tickets. You'll get a link on your phone. You can pay for it however you normally would pay for something on your phone, and it's easy. Buy at least 10 tickets. They're $1 a piece, so that's a $10 purchase. You have 10 chances to win. three big winners. We'll pick them next Wednesday at 12:30. I'll do a Facebook Live, assuming I'm not in Facebook jail, out at the range next Thursday. The computer picks them. Next Wednesday, I should say. The computer picks the winner. So it's not like me reaching into the pot and pulling out my own name. The computer randomly picks the winner. So if it says Mark Cox gets the basket of bourbon that I put together, oh well, I didn't have anything to do with it. I just
convenient.
Want to say that up front. No, I'm just kidding. I generally don't put my name in there just because I don't want to risk that. Just because that would be a bad look if that happened. I want it to go to somebody who was generous enough to contribute. We are a little behind at this point. So if you know anybody you can share that with who might be interested in winning one of those fabulous prizes, we would greatly appreciate it. And, of course, responderrescue.org would greatly appreciate it because, you know, Backstoppers does great work for people killed in the line of duty. Responder Rescue helps people injured in the line of duty. They get hurt on the job, can't pay their bills. Responder Rescue can step up and help them out. So thanks to all of you for that. We appreciate it.
Oh, both of them just great organizations.
So. You're gonna love this next Wednesday night. I just have to tell you. It's going to be a tradition in your household after that.
I'm ready to see a knockout.
You might. You very well might. We're looking forward to it. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Kilmeade, then Annie Fry, then Mark Reardon. And you guys have a great weekend. We'll see you back here Monday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.